This is Classical Queens. Hey y'all, welcome to Classical Queens, a podcast where I, Jessica Joy, will be bringing you the history of the brilliant Black classical royalty you probably have never heard about. I'll share with you their stories, information on how these women and men helped shape music in America, and we'll end utilizing this history by considering how their experiences instill us with knowledge that assists in pushing the boundaries of culture in our own orchestras, bands, choirs, schools, and communities. My name is Jessica Joy, and I'm going to show you how these queens and kings have been breaking their chains and slaying, seen and unseen, for hundreds of years. Happy New Year, y'all. You know, today I spent the early part of it sitting on a panel with some amazing local artists, activists, and musicians, with the arts community leadership in attendance here in Boise. And I left after having spoken on the panel and listened to my colleagues' stories and advice on how to continue to build anti-racist work here in Idaho. I left feeling hopeful. The one, because we have such powerful people here who work very hard to build spaces of safety. Today reminded me to keep leaning back into the work. And so today I'm excited to share with you a story I was reminded of someone that I knew nothing about, but a name on a sheet of music. And so I decided to try and find them again and to lean in again. And this time I found something. If there was one female composer whose rediscovery has, to me, breathed life into the classical canon and allowed current audiences to experience transportative magical moments with a diverse voice, that composer would be Florence Price. Her transformation of spirituals into the romantic tradition allows for moments of melodic wonder. She shows us Black culture, sorrow, and celebration, and teaches of the sounds of our people through orchestral instruments. When I discovered her in 2018 in the book From Spirituals to Symphonies, I was actually researching Margaret Bonds. I thought Price's story was interesting and special. Now, at that point in 2018, that violin concerto number 2, had been found in the floorboards of a summer home. And that was like a couple years prior to me discovering Florence Price and her music. Now, the second violin concerto had not yet been published, and the first recorded performance of this concerto was by Erjing Kong. And so in my final year of my master's, I was able to connect with Miss Kong, and she assisted me in accessing the copy of the manuscript, which was at the Special Collections in the Arkansas Library. She was so kind to spend the time to lead me in the correct direction. And because of her help, I learned the concerto, and I was able to utilize this piece for my graduate recital. It was a very, very, very exciting way to end a degree program that centered around BIPOC life and classical music. It is still on my bucket list, however, to actually perform, because as my graduate performance and COVID met around the same time, I had to rush and record the piece before it was ready. And I guess I hope someday there's a chance for a redo. Keep them fingers crossed for me, please. Anyway, at that time, I had been making lists of women's names that I wanted to research. I would find these names in the pages of others' stories, and I wanted to make a concerted effort and to ensure that I didn't lose people, as history so often seems to do. One of those names was Minnie Cedergreen Jernberg. Her name is featured on Florence Price's second violin concerto, and it was dedicated to her. Mrs. Jernberg would also be the first person to ever perform the piece, which would happen around 10 years after Price's passing. The performance was for the opening of the Florence Price School in Chicago, a music institution dedicated to the great composer. Now, at the time I learned about Mrs. Jernberg, a quick Google search did not come up with anything about her. Neither did any of the history books I came across. As I sometimes do, I tried that quick Google search again earlier this year, as I wasn't sure where to start in seeking her out. This time, suddenly, a death notice in the Chicago Tribune appeared in my search engine. In it, there were three clues about who Minnie Jernberg was. This was more information than I had ever come across. The first clue. 1. She was a Chicagoan violinist. The second. 2. She went to American Conservatory in the 20s and won the Paganini Medal there. And the third clue. 3. She studied with a man named Herbert Butler at American Conservatory. With these new clues, not only was I feeling like Sherlock Holmes laying this mind palace situation, but I was finally able to figure out who she was. I utilized the archives of the Chicago Tribune, some brief histories of Herbert Butler, as she was an acclaimed student of his. And finally, I found one of her descendants who happens to be a current prolific religious composer with the same last name. He spoke of how inspiring his grandmother was to him and how she gave him the inspiration he needed to build his life around spirituality and music, which is how he saw her relationship to music. Now, I want to be very honest. I did hope to find a prolific black female violinist in the 20s living in Chicago who collaborated with Price, Bonds, and others, because I don't think I have found someone who fits that description just yet. But what I am glad to have found is what seems to be an extremely important relationship of two women from two different worlds with the commonality, their families, their music, and their need to not give up their art completely to the responsibilities of house and home. Term drop. Ally. Ally has a few meanings, but Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines ally as, quote, one that is associated with another as a helper, a person or group that provides assistance and support in an ongoing effort, activity, or struggle. It also goes on to say that that term ally is often now used specifically of a person who is not a member of a marginalized group or mistreated group, but who expresses or gives support to that group. This week, I want to introduce you to a woman who seems to have held an impactful role in Florence Price's world. Let's meet Florence Price's violinist, Minnie Cedergreen Jernberg. Now, what I know about Minnie Cedergreen Jernberg has been solely collected from the archives of the Chicago Tribune and biographies of Herbert Butler. So I'm going to piece together bits of her story through quotes from these entities. We know that Herbert Butler was a teacher at American Conservatory in Chicago. He must have been very inspired by her work and dedication to her instrument, because he ended up dedicating a piece of his to her entitled Ballad, Opus 6. A quote from the Evening Republican Times, which was a newspaper publication, shares with us the following. Quote, Miss Cedergreen, who is a Des Moines girl, quite frequently takes the part of soloist with the Thomas Orchestra in Chicago, and is an instructor in both the North Park College and North Shore School of Music in that city. She graduated in violin under Herbert Butler, after which she studied for a year in Berlin under Barsum. Miss Cedergreen expects to go to Europe again next fall for further study. She was the guest while in the city of Miss Grace Swinley, and went from here to Des Moines. This was January 8th, 1913. Now, from there, I visited the online archives of the Chicago Tribune and found a great deal of little snippets over the years about her performances, what groups or clubs she was performing in, and who she was performing with. There was also a little blurb in conjunction with Florence Price about the opening of the Florence Price School of Music and the premiere of Price's second violin concerto. In most of my readings, I discovered that she was a very busy working violinist, but I didn't know anything about who she was as a person. That was until the December 16th, 1928 issue, page 23 of the Chicago Tribune, where she was featured in the middle of the page. In an article entitled Mixes, Music, and Motherhood, Mother of Four Continues Her Career as Violinist, written by a Virginia Schmitz. On the page, which I will make sure is on the Instagram so y'all can see, is a picture of her playing the violin, with her children looking at her with what seems to be reverent awe. It's very sweet. This article, by the way, is really the only piece of writing in which I have found her voice at all. The article begins by talking about her family and how revolutionary this woman was to not only be happy with her violin career, but also be happy in her marriage. A fact that the article makes clear is not a common practice or a common experience for women at the time. It also explains her early performance career. The article spoke of winning the Paganini Medal when she was in Chicago. After she graduated, it confirmed that she went to Europe to study with a famed violinist, Professor Isai Barmes, a Berlin teacher. She returned to America in 1912 and played in Illinois and neighboring states before making her metropolitan debut. In 1914, she was booked for a tour after winning a lot of acclaim by critics, and then she gave it all up to get married. Quote, in fact, she said, months would go by when I wouldn't be able to touch my violin. And even when I had time to play, I couldn't practice music. But for some reason, it didn't mean, as it so often does, that I would have to go back over what I had already done. Even after those times that I didn't play at all, I could start up again at that same point where I left off. Close quote. It goes on to say, quote, many of my friends, Mrs. Dernberg says, from over her son's head, who were also interested in music careers, were surprised when I married. But to me, a career isn't everything. My music has helped me in bringing up my children, and I think if I had to give up one or the other, it would be the music. Close quote. This was the most detailed article I was able to find on Minnie Cedergreen Dernberg. Aside from this, I learned that she was a part of a great deal of social clubs. As I looked into a few of the ones she participated in, I found that they were primarily clubs of advocacy with suffragette leanings that focused on community building work. She seemed to associate herself with forward-thinking women of her time and place herself in those spaces and in that work as well. I have yet to come up with more information on the relationship between Dernberg and Price, other than that they must have been school friends, as they both attended American Conservatory around the same time. I will keep looking, however, for possible letters, concert notes, and more detailed articles. What I do know is that Florence Price was a composer who was able to break many barriers for Black women at her time. She almost entirely surrounded herself with Black greats, Margaret Bonds, William Grant Still, Langston Hughes, and the Black community. She was also so vocal about the importance of imbuing her compositions with the sounds she was raised with, forever inspired by her people and the Romantic tradition. So, the dedication of this piece to Minnie Cedergreen Dernberg tells of what must have been a positive relationship between them, as women, as mothers, as working musicians, despite the era in which they lived. There is much that I consider about the relationship that is absolutely conjecture, but I do hope that as time passes, more information will come forth and give us more insight on the goings-on in the early to mid-20th century Chicago with Florence Price and her violinist. As always, thanks for being here and supporting this bi-weekly podcast. If you ever have questions, people you have heard of and want to know more about, send me a message. I would love to dive into research that interests us all. You can reach out to me on my Instagram at Classical Queens or my freshly dropped website, classicalqueens.com. Shout out to Emily, who sent me some suggestions last week. I'm very excited to start digging. Lastly, go take a look at the Instagram and give us a follow. After every episode, we post pictures of the people I discuss in each episode, quick facts on the episode, and sometimes, if it relates, you'll see a picture of my little life. So stop on by, give Classical Queens a follow, and perhaps a 5-star review wherever you listen to the show. Thank you all so much for being here, and we'll see you, Classical Queens.